As above, so below.
Welcome to Connecting with Coincidence. I am your host, Bernard Beitman, MD. I'm a psychiatrist, and I love talking about coincidences. Who knows why, but it's been a lifelong interest. Please subscribe to our channel. You can do it in the usual button underneath. It really helps get us out there. And please look at my book, Meaningful Coincidences, How and Why Synchronicity and Serendipity Happen. The cover is over my right shoulder. It gives you a broad outline of what this field is about with a bunch of practical ideas that you can use in your own life. And if you're interested in finding a group that likes to talk about meaningful coincidences, please consider joining the Coincidence Cafe, which meets every Saturday on Zoom at 11 a.m. Eastern time for about an hour and a half. And we tell each other coincidence stories. And this is for people who tend to be isolated and from others who like to talk about synchronicity and serendipity. So please, maybe I'll see you at the next Coincidence Cafe. This story I'll tell today is from my days of being a part-time hippie. I was a part-time hippie in San Francisco in the late 60s, a great time to be hanging around the Haight-Ashbury district. A lot to learn, a new culture right there in the middle of the United States. And I was part-time because I was being a psychiatric resident at Stanford, which was not too far south of San Francisco, near Palo Alto. This happened in San Francisco, and the title of it is The Missing Motorcycle Jacket Materializes. A friend of mine, Andrew Weil, has this thing where something that he has, when I was visiting him, was a shovel, disappears, and then several days later, it shows up back up again, maybe in the same place, maybe someplace different. And this is a repeated pattern I've heard of, and there's a little book written about it. Maybe it happens to you. How it happens is a fun question. This is my version of it, and it's a little different from just disappearing in the way Andy's things disappear. I had a purple leather motorcycle jacket. I don't have it anymore. Given to me by an older woman who loved me because she liked the way I ran with the football. And I reminded her of the father of her only child. Someone from the hippie house on Oak Street, where I would hang out sometimes, had stolen it, apparently. I had laid it on a bed on the fourth floor, but it had disappeared when I went to get it, kind of like Andy's stuff, it just gone. A few weeks later at a gas station in San Francisco, the thief and I surprisingly crossed paths. What a coincidence. That stunning purple jacket had few peers, and he looked familiar. I think I'd seen him around there. But as with a lot of coincidences, you have to act. So here I had a momentary window in which to get my leather jacket back, and I decided to go over and confront him, did a little threatening, and I got it back. So the idea here is being in the right place at the right time, but also that I had to act. So when you find yourself in the right place at the right time, however that happens, you may need to seize the moment so that that opportunity becomes an actuality, something that you can get a good result out of. Our guest today is Ricardo Escamilla, who has since childhood has been interested in the mind and consciousness. At age 11, he had his first spirituality course. He studied administration at ITAM, a prestigious business institute in Mexico, and received a national award for his research on creativity and entrepreneurship. He pursued a master's degree in applied creativity in Spain and a postgraduate degree in emotional ecology. His fascination with synchronicity began at age 23, sparked by a fortunate event that led him to focus on business training. With 25 years of professional experience, he teaches various soft skills, creativity, and innovation. Through awareness-raising activities on synchronicity, he aims to connect individuals with life purpose. Currently, he's writing a book on meaningful coincidences. Love to hear that. Based on his personal experiences and others that have been close to him. Welcome to Connecting with Coincidence, Ricardo.
Thank you, Bernie. So happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. I mean, you're really into this stuff. I know it. And you've got a big heart and a lot of love in yourself, and it comes across. And you love this synchronicity business. So why don't you tell us one of your coincidence stories?
Well, this story maybe could be a meta coincidence.
A medical, I want you to define a medical incident for us.
I learned about it when I read your resume. So it's an experience when you take a course of synchronicity or some topic similar, and then you experience a coincidence, a meaningful coincidence. So it happened to me.
Go ahead.
Well, I was planning going to Spain. Santiago Compostela is a mystic place, also involved with all these concepts of synchronicity. So I went to study a master degree in creativity with two friends from the university and one professor. On my way to Spain, I was talking with this professor. His name is Carlos, and I was explaining to him that this concept of synchronicity, that I was reading books, I was very interested in this concept, and it can be applied in organizations and leadership. So he said, No. It sounds like esoteric. I do business planning. I'm very serious. I don't believe in it. So thank you for telling me all the story, but I don't connect with that. So I told him that it was also scientific, Carl Jung, all these concepts. So he was not really interested. And so we arrived to Santiago Compostela. We rented a flat with also with my friends. And in the first night, I told them about this concept of synchronicity to the three of them, and they didn't believe it. So well, we started the master degree. The first day, we selected the same course. It was an elective course of multi-leadership. So we started to take this course, and immediately the teacher from Colombia, Graciela Aldana, who is author in creativity, she said, "Okay, guys, you have to write this concept, because this concept is going to be very important in this workshop. Write the word synchronicity, because we are going to talk about archetypes, synchronicity, Pearson, Jung. So write it on." So we were really amazed. And that's one of my a synchronicity of a synchronicity.
Indeed, indeed. Well, you've been interested in synchronicity for a long time, since childhood. Could you tell us one of your early childhood synchronicity, please?
Well, I was interested in mind, brain, when I was only 11 years old. It was the early 80s. So my mother, she didn't know what to do with me. So she took me to a doctor. He was homeopathic. He was open to many concepts. But he told me that I was interested also in parapsychology. So he told me all these concepts are very important. Okay. But it is more important to connect with your spirituality. So I recommend you to come to my courses during Wednesday night. So I used to go to these courses about, there were some concepts. He talked about the chakras, reincarnation, also coincidences, many concepts. So I was really happy in these courses. And later on, I started to connect to spirituality. And later on, I had a problem in elementary school because the teacher called to my dad and told him that I have learning problems. So I have to quit from that school, bilingual school, because I didn't pay any attention and my grades were very low. So she didn't know what to do with me. Okay, so my father went, listened to the teacher. He walked past a door and then he saw a name, Anita Espinosa. And he said, Anita Espinosa, yes, I'm the principal and owner of this school. Espinosa, my name, my father's last name is also Espinosa. What a coincidence. And she says, yes, it is a coincidence. What is the name of your uncle? It's your uncle? Yes, it's my uncle. Okay, what's his name? No, his name is Luis. Oh my God. He's the brother of my husband. So I am Ricardo's aunt. So they were very happy. They started to talk about family. And Anita asked my father, well, why are you here? Well, the Patty, the teacher Patty, says that my son, he needs another school. He's not, he doesn't have the skills for this school. Okay, I'm going to visit him and to have a contact with him and to make some tests. So she did it. She went and called me and then some tests of language, mathematics, and several tests. And then later on, she called my father and she said, no, no, no. We're going to change his teacher. And Ricardo, he is creative. And what he has to do is just to pay attention. And he bores in her classes. That's the reason. He needs another teacher. So I changed the group and everything changed. And so I got an average of 90% at the end. So I didn't have any problem. So that's one of my first coincidences. It affected positively to me. And it marked a very important moment in my life. Later on, when I got the title of in the university, my father said, I would like to show your title to this teacher. That day when I met your aunt Anita was a very nice and unforgettable day. And today is another unforgettable day for me and for you.
That's walking by the office and noticing the name is one thing, but actually to act on it is again what has to happen when you get a potential coincidence that could mean something. And your father did, and they discovered that you were too creative for the previous teacher. And that was very helpful for you, however difficult it might have been. It helped identify you for your future, because that's what you continue to do, is somehow be creative. And synchronicity is one aspect of your creativity, enough so that you're writing a book about it. Now, one of the things that you've told me is that you and Carl Jung have an interest in Beatles. And the Jung story of Beatle coming to the office window while a woman is dreaming about a scarab-like beetle is probably the most famous meaningful coincidence synchronicity story around. And there you are involved with Beatles too. So I imagine that makes you think a little bit more of a connection with Carl Jung. So why don't you tell us about what you think of as your connection to Jung as you tell us your story of Ricardo and the Beatles?
Yes. Well, I learned about the Jung story. I was impressed, amazed of this story. So I used to share all these concepts in many of my workshops. I also read the book of Joseph Jaworski of Synchronicity and Leadership. So there's a foundation of all these concepts in organizations and leadership. You can apply all these ideas in business. Also, Peter Senge talks about it. So I was really interested in promoting this concept because I think that we have to enhance these skills, or maybe it's a skill, or like creativity. You can experience more synchronicities if you are aware. So in many of the courses, maybe not all of them, I talk about it. And I do some activities like the exquisite corpse and other activities. So I went to a company, a Mexican company. The name is Mabe, Mabe. They produce kitchens. And I was teaching a course in team working. So we were doing some activities and experiences also, synchronicity stories, and I told them the story of the beetle. As far as I know, it's a green golden beetle, and the species is Cetonia aurata. So I was aware of it. So we shared the story, and the people started to talk about it, and at the end, we finished the course with an activity of exquisite corpse. I remember someone cried because of the connections, and it was a great experience. So then the course finished, and I talked, I called for a cab, an Uber. So I went out of the offices to wait for my Uber, and I was in the middle of downtown Mexico in a business area. It is named Polanco. And we have like this big freeway, Periférico near. So it's complete in the middle of the city. So I started to wait for this Uber, and some people started to see something on the floor. So I looked in the floor and I was amazed because I found a beetle. It was Cetonia aurata, the same, golden and green. I have a picture of it. And the only thing I did is to move the beetle to a green space in order to save its life. In a second, it disappeared. But it was amazing because the probability is 0.000001, because in Mexico City, we do not experience this situations of these beetles. We maybe have brown beetles or dark beetles, and in those days it was the first time I saw a green golden beetle in my life, and it was in the middle of downtown Mexico City.
And that was soon after you told the story of Jung's beetle of the same name and the same type, and that put you together with Jung at that moment. And the difference between you and Jung in that circumstance is that at least in the spring, outside of Zurich, where Jung's office was, these rose shapers, the ones that came to Jung, are very common. The roses are blooming outside or inside of Zurich, and they're flying around all over the place. And we don't know when Jung's story took place, but chances are pretty good it happened in the spring, and there were a lot of them around. And as opposed to Jung's maybe situation here, this Mexico City, the middle of the very crowded place, you get this rare occurrence right after you're telling the story. So what impact did seeing that Jung-like beetle have on you?
Lots of reflections. The beetle represents metamorphosis, transformation, change. Maybe I was starting a change in my life. I was not really in a breakpoint moment, but also to be aware that you can open doors and to experience. And also I was thinking that Jung talked about these events that are a causal, but I started to think that maybe very deep are causal, because your mind imagines things, you talk, and then it appears. And the brain and life is like a hologram. So maybe it's like something magical that it appeared, but maybe it's related to thoughts, talking, language, action, and experience. So I started to think about it. And then I had another experience with beetles more. I went to the Tecnológico de Monterrey. It's an important university in Mexico, Campus Pachuca. And I was teaching leadership, and they told me to focus the course in these concepts of systemic thinking. And we talked about Jung. And a few minutes after I talked about the Jung story and the beetle, a participant did like this to his shirt. It was a beetle on his shirt, a brown beetle. And they felt a little bit afraid. Another amazing connection. So that's a second story. And there's another more that I have more stories with beetles. It represents a transformation. And some, in my case, I feel that experience is telling me something, that you can connect with a subtle world, interior war. It is possible.
It is possible to connect with the interior world. What do you mean by that?
Because if you are aware of all these events, synchronicity, serendipity, you are aware that you are not dreaming anymore. You wake up and you are conscious and you can create experience. I feel that.
And you can create experience, because one of the points I heard you make was that our thoughts can influence what we see out in what we call reality. That term thought forms is used sometimes to say my thought form goes out there and then creates the opportunity for a beetle to appear on this student's shirt, for example.
Well, I don't think I maybe created that situation. It is a coincidence. The most important thing of this event is that we have to be aware that there is a subconscious world that connects to the conscious world. The implicit with the explicit, like David Bohm used to say. So everything is connected. And all these experiences that Deepak Chopra talks about in his experience in the States or India, Paramahansa Yogananda, or Steve Jobs, whatever, if we experience this, it just tells us that you are connected with life. And also, I think it's very important because it marks your purpose. Okay, it means I am in the right place in this moment. That's the way also synchronicity talks to you. Life talks to you.
It's one of the most common uses for people with synchronicity, saying that you're in the right place at the right time, but you're on the right path. And that appears to be what the Beatles have been doing for you. I can't help wonder if the musical group, the Beatles, has also had an influence on you.
Okay. Well, no, the group, it's
the group.
Yes, well, the group, of course, it is important to me, and I use one of their songs in my courses, worships. Yes. So I feel a connection, of course.
One of my favorite lines that has been coming up for me to say lately is, you are me and I am you and we are us together.
Okay.
Which is some of us think we're headed, is to recognize that we are all part of the same thing and that each of us is connected by being part of the same thing. We're flowers of something that is connecting us all and of which we're all a part. And that's the Beatles for me recently. You also have a coincidence story about how you contacted me from the beginning. Could you tell us about that, please?
Yes, during the pandemic, well, I stayed a lot in home. And also I made many connections with dreams. So I used, for example, to dream that near my house, there was a forest, but I woke up and there was not a forest. But later on, I discovered that only few miles from my house, approximately 8 or 9 miles, there was a beautiful forest in the mountains. So I used to go there to connect. So I started to connect with nature and also with dreams. I had had before several dreams of these kind of connections. So I used to have a contact with a consultant. Years ago, he was the owner of a consulting firm, and he was at the same time my friend, but we never spoke about synchronicity. He contacted me by LinkedIn. He liked my picture. He felt empathy. He contacted me by LinkedIn and he offered me some business opportunities in business training. So we have that connection. So I didn't have contact with him maybe 4 years. And suddenly I dream with Alejandro. Okay, and we were driving. He was driving, and there was a curve, and we went out of the curve, and the car started to fly, but at the end it landed safely. So I woke up. I was not really nervous, but I sent an SMS to Alejandro, and I told him, I dream about you. If you are driving and if you see a curve, take care. So I thought there was a relation with that, or it was symbolic. I didn't know. And then immediately, the answer, he didn't say anything. He only sent me a PDF document, and it says, I am Alejandro. I made this translation to Spanish. And so I started to read, and it was an article he translated, The Hidden Power of Coincidences. Oh my God. Warnell Street Journal. So I started to read this article, and they were, and started to talk about Bernie Weinman and the Coincidence Project. I want to tell you that years before, I thought I would like to meet someone who makes research and promotes synchronicity. Years before, I thought I desired that. So I was amazed. I tried to find an email. I sent a message in your Facebook. Nothing happened. So finally, I read something. I don't remember how I made the connection with Kenneth Harris, but he knew about you. And I found that Kenneth Harris was a chiropractor. So I went to his webpage, found a mail, and I told him, please give me Bernie's email. I want to contact him. Immediately he answered, very kind. And then also I discovered that in my Kindle library, a year before, I bought Connecting with Coincidence, your book, but I haven't read it. It was in my list. So finally I contact you, and I went to my first Coincidence Cafe. That's the story. It comes from a dream. I couldn't believe it.
That's a good story, and I appreciate being part of your dream, and being able to manifest what you had been looking for. It's part of our collective mind, which I call the psychosphere, or our mental atmosphere. Jung has a collective unconscious, and we have a collective consciousness as well. And you can tune into all these ideas that are floating around out there. And you had this idea, I want to meet somebody who's studying this stuff. And that, through that dream and the translation, you got to the Coincidence Project, and you got to me. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is how Ricardo and I have gotten together. And it's great to hear stories like that, and it's wonderful to be part of that. And I don't know how many other places, times that's happening now, because as you can see, the Coincidence Project is the only one of its kind currently in the world, where we're focusing directly on trying to understand synchronicity and serendipity, and getting people to be able to talk about it with these stories with each other, as you are sharing with us. And one of the things that you also mentioned to me is Mayan, the Mayans. And I keep hearing more and more about what Mayans know. And you live in a place not too far away from where Mayans were rulers, and with pyramids and rituals and much more connections with higher powers and abilities that we probably have been not told very much about. But why don't you tell us something about the Mayan relationship with synchronicity?
Yes, well, I live in a city near Teotihuacan. It's older, the pyramids, but I feel that connection, and it's another culture before Mayas. But their story that I called Navigators, because it started when I met a friend by a coincidence in Acapulco, and he gave me a book, or he told me I have to find this book about the solar Mayan calendar. He was from Argentina, but he admired a lot the Mayans. So he told me, you should look for this book, the Book of Destiny. So I found this book. It was interesting. It talked about also the archetypes, all these concepts, and it was basically the solar Mayan calendar. And then I learned, making my own research in internet, that there was another moon Mayan calendar based on the moon, and it's named the 13 moon calendars, the 13 moons calendar. So it shows 260 kings, and the king, K-I-N, are really archetypes or symbols. I was amazed that the author that you wrote me once in an email, he was Argüelles, José Argüelles. He's the author of this concept, of this study. And it's named Synchronario, Synchronar, like a calendar of synchronicity. Synchro. Yeah, he named Synchronar. And that's the name. And then there are 260 archetypes. So I discover, I learn, well, I search for my king. I put in the internet for all the people who are interested is 13, the number 13 lunas, moon in Spanish, dot net. So I went to this link, and I learned that my king was Navigator. It's the red earth symbol, Navigator. What is Navigators? The essence is synchronicity. The action is evolution, and the power is navigation of my king. There are 260 different kings, and I discovered that I was really in my essence connected to this concept. And there are also millions of persons who are these kings. So Mayas were aware that they are emissaries. They say, I don't know if the word in English is emissaries. They are navigators, are the emissaries of synchronicity in the world, in the universe, because they talk about not the world, the universe. So it's an energy that exists to enhance this synchronicity. And others are based on, I think that if I remember, your archetype is illumination. Others focus in illumination, others in other concepts. But I discovered that, and I had a very important connection with a consultant and teacher, Eduardo Mouret. He's a very important professional in Mexico. I had a special connection with him, and I discovered that he was exactly the King 57 Navigator. He was like my soulmate in the King archetype. So now, in some of my workshops, I use the archetypes to help people to connect to their purpose. So it's amazing what the Mayans were conscious. They were aware completely of synchronicity.
That calendar had a synchronicity in it, that it was synchronizing what was in the calendar with what was outside the calendar. I spoke with a person who has studied the Mayan calendar recently on one of my podcasts about being able to predict major world transitions, like the Industrial Revolution, like the technological revolution that we're now undergoing, and revolutions in the past. And the Mayan calendar had those abilities to predict. So their correlations are what synchronicity is about, as correlations between one and the other. And the Mayans had a sense of that well into the future. So there was some ability to predict through their calendar what was going to happen. Here you are a navigator. I guess I'm a navigator too, without knowing, without having to identify, having identified it as that, because my job is doing what you're doing as a navigator, is to get the idea of meaningful coincidences out there into the world. And I founded the Coincidence Project with just that intent, and I continue to do it, and I can't help but do it. I have to do it. I love to do it. My heart and mind are deeply into it. It's a love of a kind of an idea and a process that I just have to keep doing, and am grateful to be able to be doing, even though it's a hassle sometimes, and that's the way it is. I'm still doing it. So tell us what it's like for you, Ricardo, to be a navigator, to be a person trying to bring the idea of meaningful coincidences to the world.
Well, same as you, I want to share this concept. I also, the first video about these concepts and your interviews I saw, and I was really amazed. It was with Deepak Chopra, because when I was very young, I read the book of Quantum Healing he wrote. So, and also he came to Mexico, and the name of the workshop in the Sheraton Hotel was Synchronicity. So I assisted, I went to his workshop, of course, and I learned in that episode that you organized, that interview, he says that we have, as navigators, to share this concept, writing. I do also in workshops. I share these concepts in business, in companies, or personal developing courses also. So I feel that part of my purpose in my life is to share that there is a interior world and an external world, and we have to link these concepts. I feel that. So that's why I also make all these connections. I experienced another coincidence. I want to make you a question. I have a question for you, because in 1985, there's a large story, but I was talking with my father. He was taking me to the school, high school, and he started to talk about an earthquake he experienced. So I arrived to school, it was 7:15 in the morning, and I continued this story with one of my classmates. And I was talking, we were in the yard talking about it, and then started an earthquake. But not just a normal earthquake. It was the worst in history in modern Mexico. It was an 8.1 Richter magnitude degree. And I was talking about, at that moment, an earthquake. And I heard a boy saying, there's an earthquake. I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe it. But my question is that was in 1985, September 19 in the morning. And in September, we used to do this kind of, how do you say, when we would get prepared at the same time, the same day, all the population in Mexico City are aware and we go out, how to say that word when you, like a rehearsal, simulacro, that's the word in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
It's making something similar too.
Yeah, we as a population, we are prepared. And especially in that day, we get prepared for that simulacro. So to remember and to be prepared of this fatal event in 1985, millions of, no, not millions, a thousand of people lost their life.
Ah.
So in September 19, 2017, we experienced after the simulacro, immediately, few hours after, an earthquake. The same day. And so all the population say, we cannot believe it. And it was 7.5, something like that. It was also terrible. The second worst earthquake, the same day, years ago. You know, I mean, years afterwards. And then last year, we make that simulacro the same day. Everyone is connected. And then we experienced a third earthquake the same day, September 19, 2022. It's a synchro event of an earthquake. This earthquake is talking to the Mexico City population and surroundings. I don't know. This is amazing. I think there are very few stories of the same day earthquake in very few years. It's a short period of time. Maybe it could happen in 200 years. The probability is higher, but not in this case. So as a country, we have this experience. Mexico has this experience. What is your opinion about these three earthquakes the same day?
Well, and if the kind of generality is a serial coincidence, three different things that are observable by somebody else. It's not in your mind, it's out there, both of them, the simulation and the earthquake itself. And it's on the same day. So these are true meta coincidences in that they're coincidences about coincidences. You just had each one of them is a coincidence where you do the simulation and the earthquake takes place. But now you've got three of them. So we're talking about meta coincidence around coincidences. But how does that happen? We know about animals, elephants, for example, who can feel the earth begin to tremble and head for safer ground. And there are many other animals who can pick up the pre-earthquake vibration and be able to try to do something to save themselves. So there's no reason to think that human beings don't also have that capacity, but it gets turned off. And so we have to like manifest it in some form that we can visualize it and then be surprised about it. But what you're describing is again, what synchronicity can let us know is that we have capacities that we don't appreciate, that we don't know that we have. So what you're describing is a human maybe group somehow deciding, and the key thing is how did they decide how did the group decide to do the simulation on that day? Because that's a kind of precognition to be able to have that behavior be a reflection of what actually happened. And I've done that at least once, but I think I've done it other times where I did a behavior And then the thing, out of nowhere, I don't know, I mean, didn't know why I did it. And then the thing happened just as I had acted out, not what I had thought, but what I had acted out. And that is talking about precognitive abilities and the ability of the human being, maybe only in a group, maybe just by yourself, to be able to pick up a disaster about to happen. So it's an important thing for you to report, and you'll include in your book, because it's a capacity to pick up danger that we have in us that we don't recognize. And I'm very much interested in helping people find their capacities. It's part of what synchronicity does, is help us show that we have capacities that we don't believe that we have, that we're told not that we that we're told that we don't have. And this, I have a question for you now. You consult with business leadership. There's a movement called Gaiaopolis now, which is a way to make cities greener in all kinds of ways, which is, includes compassion for each other, as well as trying to be able to conserve energy and behave in a way that is more suitable to our environment, our natural world, because we're destroying our natural world. And I and Eben Alexander, who's very much written about near-death experiences, quite well known in that area, share the belief that meaningful coincidences can help show us how we're not just connected individually with other people, but we're connected with the whole world, and not just other people, but other animals and the plants and trees around us, that it's an all one thing, and that we're in this together. And that's an important message to be able to have the world not just know, but experience, so that we can do something about the suicide that we are slowly creating for ourselves. So I'm wondering how it is that in your work, Ricardo, you are thinking about this. And not, climate change is a terrible change in the way the word really was originally. It's global warming, ladies and gentlemen, and various PR people made certain Republicans or certain politicians change it into climate change. But global warming is what we have, and calling things what they are is very, very important. So how are you thinking about and applying synchronicity to the global warming problem that we are creating for ourselves?
Well, I think all these skills help us to be aware that we have the capacity to make a change. So, besides helping people to be aware of their all these concepts, synchronicity should be used for mankind, for well-being, for growing. And also I use the concept of emotional ecology. It is not only the concept of a natural ecology. Is emotional ecology basis on sustainability, your own sustainability, your own balance in terms of emotion and experience. So I work a lot with emotional ecology, and I link all these concepts to synchronicity and creativity and leadership or team working. So I enhance the idea too that the people should work first on themselves, think and work on themselves, then with others. And in the third place, emotional ecology talks about that you have to work for your planet. So in many courses, I also implement emotional ecology concepts that are based, what we do is group activities, metaphors, analogies also, and consciousness, and to have and to create ecosystems, emotional ecosystems balanced. And synchronicity connects with all these concepts also, because everything is connected. The Toltecas, another Mexican old culture, talked about a concept named mitote. Miguel Ruiz talks in his book of the four agreements of this concept, and the mitote is all these connections. It is the psychosphere, the psychosphere. So we are all connected, but we can create wars also, chaos. So I think that all what you do, this kind, your book, the project, programs help to change the consciousness of this of the population in order to connect with the psychosphere and make a better world. We have to make our effort to promote change. We say in Mexico, I don't know, in the States you say, we put a sand grain. That's my contribution, just a sand grain to build a different world. So I think that you also are a very important part of this project.
Well, thanks. That's how I think about it, and I try to be able to do something. And I'm most interested, as we come to the end of our time together, Ricardo, is when you talk about emotional ecology. It's a wonderful phrase. I guess Gregory Bateson might even have something to say in that direction, or have said. But when you imagine a future with a good, however you define this, what I'm asking, a good emotional ecology for the planet, what would that emotional ecology, a good emotional ecology, look like in your vision?
The people are connected, work together for a better place. George Land, who is a visionary, said that the world is better now. He's not a chaotic visionary. So in many aspects, we have progress. And in other, we do not have progress. We have to put our effort to contribute. And I want to share a phrase of a song that it will connect to all these concepts. This song is from Mexico, and the author is Alberto Cortez. And he says, if I sail the universe with my mind, or if I want to return to my ancestors, overwhelmed, I stop and can't imagine so many centuries, so many worlds, so much space, and to conceive. That's part of the song, and he says, I am neighbor of this world. We are neighbors and navigators of this world for a while. And today it happens that you are here too with me. Such strange coincidences of life, so many centuries, so many worlds, so much space, and to coincide. So we have to work for a better life, and started with ourselves, our family, our organizations, our experience, our planet.
Good. It's all ours, and we're part of it. I am you, and you are me, and we are we together, and with the planet. You're providing us a vision, and I think that's a that song and what you're saying is a wonderful place for us to say goodbye. And I thank you very much for being with me today on this show. You have a lot to tell us, and you've told us some of it. And I look forward to your book and future connections with you, Ricardo. So thank you for being on the show with me.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Thank you to everyone. Have a nice day.
This psychosphere. is our mental atmosphere, like a hologram of cosmic consciousness.